views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you remember who you really are so you can realign with that vibrant energy while enjoying the life you have come here to live. Today, I want to share a few ideas that you can use to make your day a little brighter. We all have those days when we wake up feeling lower than usual, where it feels like a challenge to smile, or like maybe your smile has moved out and a scowl has settled in its place. Sometimes it happens for a reason, like you find out your dog has run away. Or maybe it's pouring rain out and you're supposed to be going to an outdoor barbecue. Or maybe you're just not feeling that good. Other times, it just happens, like a dark cloud was passing on by, saw your shoulders, and decided to stop for a visit. When this happens once in a while, it's part of the cyclical nature of our lives. And while it's nothing to worry about, it is a good idea to collect some tools and knowledge to deal with it. If this is something you're experiencing on a regular basis, then you really want to take note and become aware of what you can do to move through these times effortlessly. The other day I was reading a newsletter from one of my gurus, Stacy Martino, and she shared a Tony Robbins quote that I really like and is quite fitting for this. Tony said, "When times are bad, it feels like they will be bad forever. When times are good, it feels like it will be good forever. Neither is true. Life comes in seasons." Now, nothing makes a season slow down and take forever more than when you're consciously hating on it. So, perhaps taking steps to enjoy the season as best you can is in your best interest. Both the low season and regular setbacks, like the Monday blues, can be your body's way of telling you that something is off. It could be suggesting you slow down and take some time to just be. Or it could be telling you that your work situation is draining your tank and that you need to put greater effort into refilling it. It could even be pointing out that even though everything looks like it's fine in your life, that it might be time to shake it up a little and change things around. Whatever the message, it's important that you tune in, because if you don't, even though you might work your way out from under the cloud, over time your system can start to shut down and it can result in a serious health or relationship crisis. Now, there are as many ways to do this as there are people in the world. So, as you hear my ideas, feel free to pick and choose the ones that really resonate with you, or use them as a launching pad to create your own ideas. The first idea is to get those feelings moving. I call it feel it, guide it, get rid of it. Now, I've mentioned this before. As a general rule, we have been taught to ignore stuff, overreact to, or discount our feelings. We all need to feel our emotions and keep them moving, especially women, because we are emotional beings first. So what does this mean? Well, let me share some of my favorite ways to move energy. The first one is definitely the most intensive, but I want to share it right away so that you can give it some thought. This is where you call it out. Sometimes you just need to name it, locate it, and give it the language to express itself in order to get it flowing. I refer to this as calling it out because you're refusing to let it hide or pretend that it's not important. Just like when you do that with a friend or a colleague or anybody else. So when you wake up and feel low, try to tune in to where this heavy feeling is coming from. Now, the challenge with this tool is that we tend to want to go into our heads and think about it. Although thinking can be a good thing sometimes, when it comes to feelings, there's a lot of limitations to doing it this way because we tend to get hung up on what's logical. And then our sense of right and wrong kicks in, and even our limiting beliefs can get in the way. So, if possible, I want you to quiet your mind, turn off your brain, and see what comes up. Trust whatever comes up. So, I just told you I don't want you to really think about it. What this means is you want to tell your brain to be quiet, see if you can kind of empty it, and then see what comes up. But what happens is sometimes what comes up feels so similar to when you're thinking that people will say to me, oh, I think I actually thought it. Okay, so here's the trick. I want you to trust that whatever comes up is what needed to come up in that moment. But I also want you to be aware of where ego might be running the show. So if there is any blaming or like if you're talking about another person or something like that, chances are you're thinking it and ego is involved. So for example, if you do this, you're feeling angry that morning and you do this and what comes up is, I'm angry because of my husband, then chances are ego is involved. On the other hand, if what comes up is, I'm hurt because of what my husband said, then chances are that is actually the true feeling that is coming up. Do you see the difference? One is blaming your husband and trying to argue about it, and the other is just recognizing, hey, this is what's going on for me. So, if possible, then don't turn on your brain, but instead just let your brain be quiet and see what comes up. Trust whatever comes up, even if you think you might have thought it or be making it up, and see if you can notice where in your body you are feeling this sensation. Put your hand on that part of your body. Now, typically, these feelings will be somewhere in the lower trunk of your body. So, right from your solar plexus down, it might be in your belly, it could even be lower in your pelvic area. On occasion, it will be caught in the throat, so it could be up above that area. But just see if you can figure out, don't spend a lot of time on it, but if you can tell where it is, put your hand there. Close your eyes, breathe, and then just imagine that the investigation is going on where your hand is. Again, don't get hung up on this. If you're able to do it, this is where you're actually taking yourself to that area, but I don't want you to spend a ton of time trying to get that. Just use your hand, tap it on the area while you're asking the questions if you want to. Okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to ask a question like, what's causing this heavy feeling? Or if you already know the feeling itself, you might think, what am I afraid of? Or why am I so angry? Or if it was the earlier example, why am I hurting? Okay? Allow the response to arise and give whatever comes up a voice. When something surfaces, don't judge it, censor it, or correct it. Just allow it by saying it out loud. Then respond with a simple "what else?" question. Allow the next idea to come up, say it out loud, and again respond with a "what else?" question. Continue like this until you actually feel the weight lift or you feel like you're finished the process. You'll know. You might find that the feeling changes as you go along, which is fine. You don't have to stop and start over just because now it's disappointment you're feeling rather than anger, okay? You're letting things flow. This is really, really good. So let me give you an example of how this would look. I did this a few weeks ago, and I found that I had fear in my solar plexus. So I put my hands on my solar plexus, which is just right below the chest, and I emptied my mind and asked, what am I afraid of? What came to the surface was, I'm afraid my life is not what it's supposed to be. What else? I'm afraid I'm wasting my time. What else? I'm afraid I'm fooling myself into thinking I'm doing something important when in fact I'm not doing much at all. What else? I'm afraid I'm lying to myself. What else? Now at this point the feeling had shifted. You might have noticed it in my voice, but it had gone from fear to sadness. And the next thought that arose was, I'm worried that I'm not enough. What else? What if my ideas aren't different enough or helpful enough? What else? Suddenly I felt a lightness pass over me as I recognized a pattern that I often fell into. And the thought that came with it was, I'm looking for excuses to not move out of my comfort zone. What else? Nothing. I know I'm enough and will always be enough for the people I'm meant to serve. So what happened here was I processed the emotions. You don't want to get caught up in trying to explore your thoughts. That's why the only thing that you want to say, no matter what comes up, is what else. You are simply helping it to flow, helping the emotion flow. And so you'll see what happened here for me was I went from feeling afraid to actually recognizing a pattern of mine where I allow fear to keep me in my comfort zone. I was trying to set up a new program and the idea of setting that program up kind of scared me. And so it was stopping me from being able to do it. So when you call it out, you want to be honest and be sure to do it without any judgment. Your job is not to argue, contradict, explain, or anything, but to feel and process the emotions. Doing this exercise is kind of like poking a small hole in a balloon. You're not popping the balloon with a loud bang, but you do let the air out just the same. Now, a variation on this that can be very effective, as long as you can find the privacy to totally let go, is to sound it out. This is where you tap into what you're feeling, and rather than trying to put words to what you're feeling, you just allow whatever sound feels right to come out of there. Energy can be moved in many different ways, and sound is definitely one of them. So you might hiss, you might wail, you might tone, you might chant, or you might puff like a train, whatever. Allow whatever sound wants to arise to get things moving. The third idea is to move it out. Okay, so far we have call it out, sound it out. Now we're moving on to move it out. This is where you use motion to get the feelings flowing. My favorite way to do this is with dance. You don't have to be a good dancer to do this. You just want to notice the feeling, put on some appropriate music. A tempo that matches what you are feeling would be great. So if you're feeling sort of melancholy and low in that way, then you might want to put on a nice, slow, relaxed music. If you're feeling angry or aggressive, then you might want more of a stomping, something with a strong bass or a beat to it, okay? And then you want to move around the room, stomp, sway, use your hands. Hands are a very powerful tool when it comes to moving energy. So allow your hands to flow in front of your body to push the energy up into the universe where it will be dispersed and transmuted into nice, good energy again. You can push it down into the ground. Just be sure not to push it into your body. You want to always be pushing it either down and away. It's kind of like you're combing through your aura, if you know where your aura is. So use your hands to get that energy moving all around you. This is not about looking beautiful or elegant. This is about letting your emotions flow. Now, if dancing doesn't cut it, you can get movement happening with walking, yoga, qigong, stretching, breathing, and so on, anything where you're moving. But you have to be willing to allow the feelings to guide you rather than your thoughts. So for example, if you're super angry because the plumber just called to say he's not coming, it's the third time in a row that he stood you up, you know, you're tired of not having a bathroom, not to mention having to cancel appointments, or maybe you had to miss work and it messed up your daycare schedule and everything. Now, if you decide to move it out with walking, then you have to be willing to just allow the feelings to flow while you walk. If you start walking and thinking and your thoughts are something like, what a jerk, I should just report him to the Better Business Bureau. He shouldn't be able to treat people this way and get away with it. Then you're just going to be adding anger. So you're feeding that feeling. You're not letting it flow through you. And that's a really big difference. So if that's the case, if you have a story playing in your head like that, where you're repeating an argument, then you might want to try one of the other tools rather than using movement at that point to get rid of it. So if this happens, you could try writing it out. This is where you write a letter. You might write a letter to his boss, to the Better Business Bureau. You could write it to him. You're not ever going to send this letter, but sometimes expressing your exact thoughts and feelings can help you to get the emotions moving. Plus, because you're writing it, you're not going to keep repeating over and over the same things, which you will do if you're ranting while you walk down the road. So make sure that you're writing, not typing, because typing is too easy to go back and add things and change things and move things around, and that can just feed the fire. Instead, you want to be writing it out. It doesn't matter if you cross things out, if you move things around, if you spell things wrong, because you're not ever going to send the letter. In fact, it can be very cathartic to burn or shred the message afterwards. You can also do this in a journal, but I suggest you don't, because you don't really want to keep it. You're just letting those emotions flow through you and out. And once they're gone, you want to burn them, throw them away. You don't necessarily want to keep them. The fifth and final tool is to talk it out. Put another way, it's about confessing what's going on for you. Tell the people around you that you feel really heavy, that you aren't sure why, but you suspect it will make you grumpier than usual. You'll do the best you can to control your actions, and you'd appreciate if they could give you a bit of space as well. I use this tool with my family when I was going through a really challenging PMS phase several years ago. And since then, I've actually used it with colleagues on phone calls. And even if my walking buddy Crystal is listening to this, she might recognize that I've done this with her once or twice at the start of our walks. Your mission is, rather than pretend all is fine, when in actuality you have this dark, angry cloud weighing on you, let others know so that they at least have a chance of respecting your space. You might think it's obvious. Anybody could tell by looking at you that you're scowling, that you're angry. But most people will not pick up on it right away. And even if they do, they're not mind readers. And so they think that they've done something wrong, that they've done something to deserve your anger. And really, that's not even fair to them. So you do this with a simple explanation right up front. So when I do it on the phone, for example, I might say something like, okay, so just a heads up, I woke up feeling really grouchy today. I don't know what's going on, but I just wanted to let you know in case it impacts our conversation. I'll do my best not to let the bee out, but in case she escapes without me noticing, I apologize in advance and feel free to call me on it. With my kids, I would say something like, wow, mommy feels really heavy today, like a dark, angry cloud has settled on my shoulders. I'll do my best not to take that out on you guys, okay? If you'll do your best not to push my buttons on purpose. Deal? Now, depending on their age, I might have needed to explain a little more, but for the most part, they understood. And interestingly, in both cases, just saying it out loud lifted some of the weight off of me and made it easier for me to be aware of my actions. The greatest challenge with this process is when the person you're sharing with decides they should delve into what's going on for you and fix it. This is not what you need at that moment, and it's okay to tell them that with a simple add-on like, you know what, I didn't tell you so that we'd go there in our discussion, but more as a warning so that you would know what's going on. Can we move on to making our plans for tomorrow, please? Or whatever it is that you're going to do with them. The second problem is when they try to lighten the mood with humor. This might be a tool that you normally respond well to, especially if you're an optimistic person. But unfortunately, when you're truly in this place, you feel fragile and are being super vulnerable by admitting it. So when someone tries to make light of what you shared, you'll want to correct them on it. If you don't, you are at risk of having it fester. And in your already low state, that will likely result in an explosion sometime later. And later could be like 30 seconds down the road. As well, if your kids are watching it happen, you're teaching them that this is an okay way to respond to this kind of vulnerable confession. And it's not. I recall my husband modeling this exact error once or twice, where he thought a joke, which would normally be well received, was an appropriate response. So he said something to the kids like, uh-oh, we better all look out or Monster Mummy will get us. Since I didn't feel the smile, I didn't pretend what he said was funny, but instead gave him the look of death. You know the look. And I told the kids, that kind of makes it sound like what I'm telling you is a joke, and it's not. So please do your best to work with me today. Now later could have been later that day or the next day, when I was myself again, I could bring it up and discuss what had happened. And I explained, you know what, I'm not sharing so that you can try to fix me or make light of it. I feel very vulnerable when I open up like that, so I would appreciate everyone's understanding and support. Now, this would not work if I did it all the time, or if I thought that by telling them this, they became responsible for how I was feeling. In my case, I did this so that I would avoid taking my heaviness out on my kids, and I'm pretty sure it saved us all a few times. I remember my son having a teacher in one of the younger years who did something like this. At the start of the year, he came home with a fair amount of homework given his age and grade. So we had to start on it really early. And at one point, I didn't understand the task. We were tired of doing homework, and he didn't get it either. So I suggested he ask the teacher the next day. Oh my gosh, his little eyes went so round. And he goes, oh no, Mommy, my teacher is stressed because of interviews, so we need to be on our best behavior. Now, I could understand that it would be stressful having to meet with all the parents a week or two into the school year. But when it came up again about a month later when they were going on a field trip, and then again at report card time, and then again at concert time, I realized that what had started out as a great tool for the teacher had turned into a manipulation strategy because it had worked so well. But kids need to be able to ask their teachers questions, and they shouldn't be afraid to do so because she is stressed. If you use this tool and find yourself repeating it often, you're probably in need of some other ideas to try. It actually took me a few repeats to recognize the PMS pattern and to realize that this could become a regular thing if I didn't do something about it. Now, just a side note, I have now learned that PMS is actually a sign of your progesterone being low, and one of the best ways to increase it isn't a pill, it isn't getting sleep or anything, it is spending quality time with a girlfriend or two. So, if you're dealing with PMS, you should investigate that, because even a phone call can help to lift you up. So those are five ways that you can feel, guide, and process your emotions. Call it out, sound it out, move it out, write it out, talk it out. Adopting and practicing tools like this increases your self-awareness, helps with self-control, and provides definite benefits for both your health and your relationships. Now, I have more tips that I want to share with you on this topic, but I feel like this podcast is already long enough. So for this week, I hope you'll try playing around with different ways to get your emotions moving. And if you're actively parenting, start thinking about how you might share this information with your kids. I'm not talking about sitting down and lecturing them on it, but actually modeling some of the tools so that they can use them too. Next week, I'll share some other tips, including things like channeling your alien. So you'll want to be sure to tune in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with others, rave about it on social media, and give it a positive review. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening and are getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.